This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, July 28th. I'm Brody Wilson, in for Audrey McCabe. There's been a welcome change on the Western Slope for the last couple of weeks. That sound has been rare enough this summer to count as news. Monsoon moisture has finally started reaching western Colorado, and the moisture is a much-needed reprieve from the hot, windy, dry conditions we've experienced since early spring. The National Weather Service in Grand Junction says that the atmosphere is carrying more moisture than normal for late July, which is good news, enough that forecasters have spent the last week warning about rain falling at an inch or two per hour and about flash flooding. But we can have too much of a good thing, and that's exactly what we've been seeing across the Western Slope, from flooding the school in Telluride that we reported on last week to major debris flows closing US 550. Last Friday night, a major debris flow crossed US 550 over Red Mountain Pass on the south side, the Silverton side of the pass. The highway was unpassable from 5 p.m. on Friday night until 10:30 p.m. CDOT announced on Sunday that cleanup operations are going to cause delays over Red Mountain throughout the week. The Ouray County Sheriff's Office also announced a major debris flow that closed US 550 north of Ouray, resulting from flash flooding from the Gold Mountain burn scar, specifically Cutler Creek. The highway was closed for an hour on Sunday night, and cleanup operations continue there as well. Go to KBNF.org to see pictures of these debris flows. And this is a great reminder to be aware of your surroundings this time of year, especially in narrow canyons and drainages. Always be prepared to seek higher ground and never attempt to drive your vehicle through water of an unknown depth. The rain is helping the fire crews. Evacuation zones for the Gold Mountain Fire have been relaxing as the fire's activity moderates with the cooler, more humid, and wetter weather. The Gold Mountain Fire is around 39,500 acres, but with last night's update, the containment jumped from 37% to 50%, a very promising data point. Meanwhile, the Elk Fire has also remained moderate and remains around 2,300 acres, and its containment jumped from 0% on Sunday to 37% contained as of last night. While this moisture is helpful, it's not nearly enough to scratch the surface of this drought, nor meaningfully contribute to our stored water in our reservoirs, because here is the year we're actually in. Last Monday, the Upper Gunnison River Water Conservancy District delivered its water supply report to the Gunnison Basin Roundtable. The summary line, quote, drought conditions have degraded in the basin over the past 2 months. Reservoir storage across the Gunnison Basin sits at 49% and just 43% in the broader upper basin. Closer to home, Paonia Reservoir is under 30% of capacity. Crawford is about a quarter full. Ridgeway Reservoir is a bright spot at nearly 85% full, yet the Gunnison River at Delta is running at roughly a fifth of its normal flow for late July. In summary, the monsoonal flow is helping fires dramatically, however, not really helping the drought that much yet. But hey, we'll take what we can get. This Saturday is Colorado Day. The state turns 150 in the same year that the country turns 250. To mark it, climbers will stand on top of Colorado's 14ers, all 58 of them on the same day. It's called Summit 2026, and it borrows straight from history. Coloradans did this once before in 1976 for the state's centennial. Hundreds applied this time around. Teams were filled by public lottery, then vetted for experience and risk. Colorado Mountain Club volunteers are leading every peak. And a good number of those peaks are ours. Wetterhorn belongs to the Montrose Recreation District. Uncompahgre goes to the Nature Connection in Generation Wild. The Colorado Mountain Club takes Sneffels. Outdoor Afro Colorado has Handies. And up north, the Grand Valley Outdoor Rec Coalition and Colorado Mesa University share Maroon Peak. Nathan Ritchie co-chairs the commission behind it. Quote, Summer 2026 is about far more than reaching a summit. It's about bringing Coloradans together through a shared love of the outdoors. One team has already stood down. The Mount Massive climb is canceled for fire safety in support of Lake County. And if you don't have a 14er in you on Saturday, that's rather the point of the other half of this. The commission's Find Your Own 14er campaign asks Coloradans to simply get outside. A local trail, a state park, a river, one of Colorado's 583 13ers. We'll put a link to the 14er Climb Summit 2026 event in the web post for this newscast at kbnf.org. And one more thing, did you know there's a reason that both our federal 250th and Colorado's 150th anniversaries land together? Colorado was the only state admitted during America's centennial year, which is how we got our nickname as the Centennial State. As we reported yesterday, the Delta County School Board voted to re-release their RFP for new legal counsel. The RFP is a move that has been met with pushback from residents who were concerned that it was opening the door to attorney Brad Miller of Miller Farmer Carlson Law. Miller's firm now provides legal counsel for the Montrose County School District and has faced accusations of asserting a right-wing agenda on the board. There was one additional nuance from last Friday's Delta School Board meeting, and that is that board member Beth Supes announced that she has stepped down from her position as secretary on the board of Colorado Leaders for Academic Success, or CLASS. CLASS describes itself as focusing on boosting student achievement and protecting parent rights. One of their board members was quoted by Chalkbeat Colorado as seeing CLASS as a conservative balance to the Colorado Association of School Boards, quote, kind of liberal viewpoint. Delta School Board member Beth Supes was the secretary of the board of CLASS, but in last week's meeting announced that she had resigned her position.
I did resign my position as a secretary of the CLASS board, but it is definitely not because I'm worried about the CLASS. It is the time constraint for me that I could not handle anymore. So I'm still fully involved with CLASS. Love CLASS. Go CLASS. Okay. So...
Other business from last week's Delta School Board meeting included the launch of a 15-year facilities master plan, formally accepting the resignation of former board member Dan Burke, continued debate about the closing of the kids' clinic, finalization of the sale of the Paonia Energy Tech property to the Carol D. Burke Education Foundation, and concerns about water rate increases in Crawford on the Crawford Montessori. Colorado has certified the state's primary election results and 1.4 million voters cast ballots. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Benta Berkland has more.
The state completed a bipartisan post-election audit to determine that the voting machines accurately counted the paper ballots, and the Secretary of State's office certified the election results from June 30th as final. The state said 48% of active Democratic voters participated, 40% of active Republican voters, and 28% of active unaffiliated voters. Unaffiliated voters can choose to participate in either party's primary. Colorado had a number of high-profile and competitive races. Still, only about a third of voters overall cast ballots, and 98% of voters voted by mail rather than in person at a polling place.
That was Benta Berkland for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. And now, a different kind of drought response, north of us, in Garfield County. Colorado Parks and Wildlife has been building what it calls beaver dam analogs, low structures of wooden stakes and willow, set into creek beds to slow the water down. It started at West Rifle Creek 2 years ago, with two of them. Within a month, a beaver had taken one over and began expanding it. Crews have since built 39 more. This June, the agency moved the work south to Garfield Creek State Wildlife Area near Newcastle. Nine more structures, and then seven beavers, a family of four from a ranch outside Edwards, and three more from Eagle County, all of them relocated out of conflicts with people. In a CPW press release, District Wildlife Manager McCoy Burke said, quote, "Projects that focus on water are the most efficient way for us to improve habitat for our wildlife, and in drought years like this, their importance is even more significant. The goal is to turn fast-moving trenches back into meandering wetland. Parks and Wildlife say the benefits run downstream, to mule deer, wild turkeys, and to natural fire breaks." That's your KBNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, July 28th. Remember, you can always listen to the newscast at your convenience in your podcast player on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, or right in the KBNF app. Thanks for listening. I'm Brody Wilson.